to this church last week as we talked about the power that Jesus said would come as a promise from heaven. That is the Holy Spirit. We said the last word was no backup power. No backup power. Jesus in Acts chapter 1 said you got to wait to his disciples, which would be 10 days from that event, when Pentecost would arrive and the promise of the Father would come. The Spirit of power. You shall receive dunamis. You shall receive dynamite. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. At which time Jesus ascended into heaven. And 10 days later, this promise would break forth. Francis Chan has written a book on the Holy Spirit, aptly titled, The Forgotten God. He is God, but we don't think of him as God so often, do we? We think of Father as God, we think of Jesus as God. But our God is a triune God, and the power and the person of the Holy Spirit is every bit God, as is the Father and as is Christ. Days earlier, in fact, it's intriguing to me that Jesus, just hours before he would die, gave some of his richest teaching to his disciples around that Last Supper table. And you have an entire discourse on the person and the future person and work of the Holy Spirit in John chapters 14 through 16. And just to allude to a few verses, Jesus said, you know, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. That is a helper of the exact same kind, which is an allusion to his deity. He is the world, he said, can't receive him, doesn't know him, can't understand him. But you know him, Jesus said, because he's with you and he's going to be what? He's going to be in you. A chapter later, and perhaps 25 minutes, maybe an hour later, they're still sitting around that table, still passing food around, undoubtedly. He's still teaching. And he says, but when the helper comes, who I will send to you, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will be witnesses, because you've been with me. And then just before they wrap things up, still talking about the Holy Spirit, still talking about the necessity of his leaving, because if I don't leave, he won't come. And if he doesn't come, the power won't be disseminated. But when he comes, he will come. And he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness, because I'm going to my Father. And of judgment, because the prince of this world, Satan, is judged by the virtue of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God is the one who brings that to bear on our hearts. He might be the forgotten God, but what he does in a life that receives Jesus is unforgettable. You just heard a story. How important is it for us to be led by the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you how important it is. If you're not led by the Holy Spirit, you're not a child of God. How's that grab you? As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Have you ever read that? That's what the Bible says. In Acts chapter 2, you have this incredible promise come true. And I think it would do us well just to read it. I'm reading from the ESV. Beginning in verse 1, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting in divided tongues, as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together. This is thousands and thousands of people are just rushing upon this temple area, this the area where they were in the upper room, and just the whole area. Jerusalem is so compact, you go about 15 feet and you're in another area of Jerusalem. And people are just coming from everywhere. They're hearing this sound. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. It says in verse 6, and at the sound, the multitude came together. They were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Our own native dialectos. We get our word dialect from this word. In other words, I'm not just hearing in English, but if I'm from Alabama, I'm hearing like I'm from Alabama. That's the idea here. They are hearing it perfectly in their language of their nation where they're from. And then he lists 16 areas where they were coming from and the different languages. He says in verse 12, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocked, said, well, they're filled with new wine. They're drunk. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed the men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem. Let it be known to you and give ear to my words. These people aren't drunk. Nobody gets drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. Not even drunks get drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. Is basically what he's saying. But this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel, who said, in the last days it shall be, God declares, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men will see visions. Young and old men dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, signs the earth below, blood and fire, vapor, smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, and that great, magnificent day. And it came to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the quote from Joel. Peter resumes his message by saying, men of Israel, hear the words of Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by hands of lawless men. Talk about guts. Just a month and a half earlier, this guy was cowering in fear, running for his life. And now he's pointing fingers at the very people who aided and abetted in the crucifixion of Jesus, while telling him at the same time, it was all according to plan. God, verse 24, raised him up, loosening the pains of death, because it's not possible for him to be held by it. You can say amen. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me. He sat at my right hand. I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad. My tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul in Hades, the place, the nether land, the place of darkness, the realm of death, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I say to you with confidence that about our patriarch David, that he both died and was buried. His tomb is with us today. The bones are in that tomb. He wasn't talking about himself. Being therefore a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are witnesses. Therefore, being exalted therefore at the right hand of God, and having been received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heavens, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, that's Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's where we're going to stop. The Spirit of the living God is the distinguishing mark in the follower of Jesus Christ in the age in which we live. A church that is a pillar and foundation of the truth is a church that is evidenced by individuals who both know Jesus and give evidence of that knowledge of Jesus with a life that's changed and constantly being powered up by the Spirit of God. And make no mistake, he is God. Real quickly, he is God. Acts chapter 5, Peter says to Ananias and Sapphira, who lied, he says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And you haven't lied to men. You've lied to what? You've lied to God. He possesses all of the attributes of God, all of the omnis. He's omnipotent. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, there he is, involved in creation. He's omnipresent. Psalm 139, where shall I go? Where shall I flee from your presence? Where shall I go from your spirit? If I go up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I go to the uttermost parts of the earth, even there, your right hand will lead me. The Spirit of God is omnipresent. He is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, who knows the mind of God? You want to know who? The Holy Spirit. He knows the mind of God because he knows everything. He is God. He is God. And he is a person. He is a personal being. He's not an it. He's not a force. Take that, Jehovah Witnesses. Take that, Orthodox Jews. They have no concept of a personal God in the Holy Spirit. But the Bible tells us that he loves us. Romans chapter 15, verse 30. The Bible tells us that you can grieve him. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The Bible tells us that you can lie to him. We just mentioned that, Acts chapter 5. Those are aspects of personality. You can't lie. You can't grieve. A force or an it can't love you. But a person can, right? He's God. He's a person. And he's incredibly, incredibly active. I would like my volunteers that I've asked to come to the platform at this time. I don't have any other way of doing this but to illustrate it visually. The Holy Spirit is incredibly active. Now, he is so important as a person. When the Lord Jesus Christ was doing miracles, he never did a miracle except by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was so inextricably tied to Jesus. When Jesus' enemy said to him one day, well, you're doing that stuff by the power of the devil, he said, oh, there's no chance for you. You can't be saved because you are attributing the works of the Holy Spirit to the devil. You're blaspheming God when you do that. That's how important it is. Now, these are our volunteers. We'll ask you to give them a round of applause later. Right now, I want you all to step forward a little bit, okay? And I'm going to move you around just a little bit here, okay? So I'm going to have to get everybody where I want them. So let's see here. Brent, I want you at the beginning over here, if you would, please. And then right next to Brent, Ryan, if you would. Okay, and then let's see. I need Elizabeth. Yes, you're a very special helper today, and you can see why. Hint, hint. All right, very good. All right, and then, okay, Karen, you're great where you're at, and pretty much I think everybody else, whoop. I spoke wrong. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Switch with Amy. There you go. Very good. Very good. Yeah, no, Elizabeth. All right, very good. All right, now, let's see here. Very good. Oh, yes, that'll look good. Tyler, you and, wait a minute here, I need to get, to, okay, Tyler, yeah, you're good right where you're at. Okay. I just got to get, now, I got to have you, I'll tell you when you're coming in here, Mackenzie, all right? Mackenzie's going to be a big helper here, right? Okay, here we go. These individuals on the platform all represent ministries of the Holy Spirit actively right now as we speak. So that you know that the Spirit of God is so incredible active. The Bible says he restrains, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says he actually restrains. And this is what we're going to do. Brent, with your hands together, pushing down, you restrain. The word restrain there literally means to do hold back. He's like an eternal jailer. He is incarcerating the worst of the worst until the day in which he is, quote unquote, taken out of the way. You think evil is rampant today? You wait until the Spirit of God is taken out of the way. But for right now, Brent, he restrains. And listen, you're going to have to help me out on this, okay? So for right now, you what? He what? Restrains, okay? And he not only restrains, but as we heard in the baptismal, and as we've heard many, many times, he convicts. Did you see that, Ryan? Let's see. Ryan, I didn't. You're a big guy, okay? You're big, strong. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. All right, very, very good. Now, the Bible says in John chapter 16 that he's come to convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. The word convict is a word which literally means, it carries the idea, it's a legal term, and it means to cross-examine someone with the idea or purpose of convicting. So he restrains and he, let's do it in order. You guys, the rest of you will see what we're doing here with our guinea pigs at the beginning, okay? Okay, the Spirit of God, everybody, he what? And he? That means he's bringing the gospel to bear upon your soul. Nobody can be saved unless they believe in Jesus. And nobody will believe in Jesus until they sense conviction in their heart for their sin. He comes to convict the world of sin. That's what separates you from God. And of righteousness and of judgment. So, the Holy Spirit does what? He... wait a minute. No, I'm not going to have 15 people say it, okay? All of us are working together today, okay? All right, here we go. The Holy Spirit does what? He... And... Okay, convicts. Very good. Now, at the point of conviction, isn't what saves you. You must be born again, okay? And so we say he regenerates. The word born again literally means to be born from above. You think about a child. We become children of God. So Amy, if you would, you're holding a little baby there, okay? So we're going to say he regenerates, okay? So the Holy Spirit restrains, convicts, regenerates. That's what Jesus meant when he said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a person is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Peter repeated this. Born, not, not by all kinds of human means, but by the word of God. So again, these are the current, ongoing ministries of the Holy Spirit. What does he do? He... Wait. Ryan, he doesn't... He's a prosecuting attorney. A prosecuting attorney. Lousy prosecuting attorneys. Okay, you got to be on your game here, okay? I called you for this, all right? All right. All right, here we go. What does the Holy Spirit do? He regenerates, okay? Now, at this point of regeneration, all kinds of things are happening. And simultaneously, and the next few individuals are going to illustrate that for us. At the point of regeneration, that means we're born again into God's family. We are baptized, okay? Now, because we don't believe in sprinkling or pouring, we believe in immersion, right? So Karen, you're going to have to pinch your nose, and you don't have to go back in there, okay? Just do this, okay? Okay, very good. The word baptism, and the Bible tells us that everyone who is a follower of Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, is baptized into that body. Place, the word means, the word baptizo means to place into, it means to immerse. And so what does he do? He takes us positionally and he places us into the body of Christ, where Paul says in Colossians, our life is hid with Christ in God. That's a very safe place to be. That's where I want to be. That's what happens when you're saved. So the Spirit of God does what? He strains, convicts, regenerates, baptizes. Very good. Now, can anyone guess what else he does? He indwells, okay? All right? So Elizabeth, what would be your, just as simple, just if you just put your hand on that beautiful tummy of yours. Very good, all right? So the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, okay? He doesn't just place us into the body of Christ. He himself comes to live within us. A church that is a pillar and foundation of the truth will teach the power of the indwelling presence of God. He is living in you. He is the Holy Spirit, after all, right? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so he indwells us. What a precious thing to do. Let's say it together. What does the Holy Spirit do? He restrains, convicts, regenerates, baptizes, indwells. Very good. Okay, we're not done talking about the things that he does simultaneously. This is another thing he does. According to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14 and other passages as well, the Spirit of God becomes a seal. So if we're thinking in Roman times, a seal was an imprint. It's like, are you watching me, Tim? All right. I mean, you are the sealer, okay? That's okay. He is the seal upon our lives. According to First Ephesians chapter 1 verses 13 and 14, as the seal, the seal is a virtual guarantee that the package will be delivered. Okay? When God saved you, he didn't just give you the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, but the Spirit of God himself becomes the seal upon your soul. You can never be lost. Whom God saves, he keeps because he seals them. Let's see the seal, Tim. Very good. Let's say seals. All right. Let's do it together. What does the Spirit of God do? He restrains, convicts, regenerates, baptizes, indwells, and seals. All right. Tyler, what do we have for you? Well, Tyler grew up in this church, was saved as a little boy. He loves Jesus with all his heart, and he's a pretty good basketball player. But let me tell you something. The Spirit of God, this is now we're into the experiential realm. All of this, whereas restraining is taking place in the world, convicting is taking place in the world, regeneration takes place at a point in time, but so does baptism, so does indwelling, so does sealing. But beginning with Tyler, these are things that occur in an ongoing way. He sanctifies, okay? The word sanctify is related to the word holy. So I want you to make a little circle with your hand and put it right over the top of your head. There you go. All right. Let's say it together. He sanctifies. The word sanctify means to be set apart. Now, when you were saved, you were sanctified at that time. But it was a moment. That the regeneration point was a moment of sanctification. This is an experiential ongoing moment. This is the thing that takes us along. This is the opportunity for you and I to continue to grow in grace. Without the Spirit of God living within us, without the Spirit of God constantly setting me apart for God and his purposes, I can't grow. I can't be holy. And listen, God didn't save you just so that you could say, I prayed a prayer. God saved you to make him more like his son. And the way he does it is through the ministry of sanctification. So we say he sanctifies. Tyler? Very good. Doesn't he look holy when he does that? Okay, what does the Spirit of God do? Let's say it together. He sanctifies. Very good. All right, now, Diane, did I ask you to come up? I did? Okay, all right, Diane, you are going, what Diane is going to represent is something that could actually fall in the category of a one-time thing. The Bible doesn't make it incredibly clear, but we know this, the Spirit of God gives gifts, right? And so, Diane, real simple gesture is if you're giving a gift out, okay? There you go. He gives gifts. And the Bible makes that very, very clear. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he distributes to each one individually as he wills. Now, the Holy Spirit's giftedness, rightly applied. Now, this is extremely important because he gives gifts. He gives gifts to individuals. A gift is an ability, a supernatural ability from God to you. You may have one, you may have two, you may have multiple gifts. But all of us have at least one, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. So we all have a gift, at least one. And that gift is designed, by design, is meant to do a number of things. In the end, it's meant to build up the body and to unify the body. A gift wrongly applied will divide the body. And we have to be very, very careful. That's why we have to walk with God. That's why we need to be sanctified. As we walk in sanctification, those gifts that God himself distributes to us, those gifts are greatly used of God to both build up and unify the body. So he does what, Diane? He gives gifts. There's two words. It's getting a little harder now, okay? Let's say it together. He what? Okay, let's go to that beginning. He restrains, convicts, regenerates, baptizes, indwells, seals, sanctifies, and gives gifts. All right, Chris, we're back to the ongoing ministry of the Spirit of God. And normally I would pick a real girthy big guy. You're not really girthy, but I'm assuming you like to eat, right? Okay, that's good. And so I want you to just sort of rub your tummy. All right? There we go. Okay. There you go. And we're going to say that the Spirit of God fills. He fills. Now, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, don't be drunk with wine, which is in excess, but be filled and continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the idea there is why we need to be continually filled is because we're leaky vessels. We're constantly running out. The Spirit of God never leaves us. We don't get the Spirit of it's not like going to the gas station and get your tank filled. The idea in the word filling is control. But to be filled, let's see that expression again. Thank you very much, Chris. He what? Key word for fills is controls. He's controlling my life. He's controlling my mind. He's controlling my body. Because if he has control of you, he's got all of you, right? So he does what again? He fills. Okay, let's go back. The Spirit does what? No laying off on this here, okay? He does what? He fills. All right, now, in this case, I need three individuals, although I'm going to have to switch because, Dave, would you come here? And you're right here. Mackenzie, you're here. And Donna, you go over there. All right, you're right here. Now, Mackenzie, remember what I asked you to do? Okay, you're going to be the Holy Spirit, okay? All right, you could turn and face Mackenzie, and you are going to be God the Father, okay? Now, Mackenzie, on your knees, honey. All right, now, when my little girl, my firstborn, was about 3 years old, she came to her mommy and daddy and she said, I made my bed. So we went in to look at what she had done. Yeah, I guess she had made her bed. Okay? I mean, it's pulling over here. It's coming up over here. The pillow's all over. And it somehow was underneath the blanket, you know. But she stood, and we took a picture. She stood by that bed so proud she had made her bed. And so I walked away. And then I saw my wife walk back into the bedroom. And I walked back into that bedroom and went, it looked great then. Because my wife had gone in and straightened it all out. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He makes intercession. Say it, makes intercession. According to Romans chapter 8, what happens is sometimes we don't know how to pray the way we should. You ever been there? And you just feel like your prayers are all screwed up. They just don't seem to be getting the right way. Don't worry about it. You have the Holy Spirit of God. He makes intercessions with groanings which can't be expressed or uttered. And so we have here Mackenzie, and she's the little girl praying to God. And the Holy Spirit is Candy. Now, Candy, here's what you do. I want you to nod, turn around, and look to Dave Keeley. And you got to turn around because you're presenting this to the Father, okay? And then Dave, you just go like this. Give a nod, all right? There it is, all right? So you got to be simultaneous. Turn around. We got to do this all together. This is a real mechanism that has to work, okay? So, all right, so he makes intercession, all right? Very good. We ought to give them a round of applause. This is the hardest part of the whole thing here, okay? All right. So as such, if the Holy Spirit is the prosecuting attorney at the point of salvation, he becomes a defense attorney as a follower of Jesus Christ. This sort of unfolds this a little bit more, does it not? All right? Okay, so now we're going to do, listen, you're going to have to get down there again, Mackenzie. You look so precious. Are you ready? Everyone, loud and clear, the Holy Spirit. Very, 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 very good. All right, now the other thing he does is I failed to do this. I need your Bible. Somebody hand me a Bible. We can't do this without a Bible. Oh, I got more Bibles than I need. Very good. This is for you, Donna, okay? If you would open this up, and you're having your devotions, all right? And as she's opening up the Word of God and as she's spending time with God, Donna, I want you to just go like this with your finger on your chin like like the proverbial light went on. No, you got it. Your eyes have, yes, okay, very good. Let's do it again. Okay, very good. We're going to say that he illuminates. Say it, Donna. Let's do it. What does he do? He illuminates. Very good. To illuminate means exactly what you think it means. It means to throw light on something. When you're reading your Bible, when you're studying God's Word, when you're hearing the Word of God preached, when you're with the believers and spiritual conversations going on, doesn't the proverbial light go off from time to time? Suddenly, a thought from Scripture, a concept from God's Word, or theology starts to make a lot more sense to you. That's the Spirit of God's work of illumination. It's a beautiful thing. And if your heart is right with God, this can occur on a regular basis when you spend time with God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 27 says, we are unctioned by God. And it's the Spirit of God who is that unction. It is the Spirit of God who helps us understand. If you recall back on that day when Jesus died, before he died, at the Last Supper, he said in John 16, I've got so many more things to tell you, but you couldn't bear them now. You remember that? Why is it? Because they didn't have the illuminating powers of the Holy Spirit. And remember David? David, remember the Spirit of God was on, but not in. Back in the days when he was on, David said, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your law. What was he asking for? He was asking for the powers of illumination. Without those powers, we will not understand the Word of God, and you need, and I need to understand the Word of God. So he does what, Donna? Illuminates. All right, what does he do? Let's go through this again, all right? What does the Holy Spirit do? He illuminates. Very good. All right. Now, he doesn't just do that. Now, I know that Donna's very dear to you, dear, is she not? So you're going to be her guide. He guides, okay? So you take your friend and take her and just kind of just walk her up here and walk her back, okay? There we go, okay? All right. He doesn't guide backwards, but I think you get the point, right? The Spirit of God guides. Jesus said he would guide us in truth. There's a passage in the book of Acts where the disciples didn't know what to do. They wanted to go here, but the Spirit of God kept preventing them. Remember that? In Acts chapter 16. And suddenly they hear a man from Macedonia saying, come over here, tell us about it. And the Spirit of God frees them up. He literally guides us in our lives. And so what does he do? He guides, all right? So again, he restrains, convicts. I can't hear you. All right, now I have an apology to make because I talked to Diane DeClean, but I miscommunicated with her. I said to her, I'm not going to ask you because what I actually said to you, Diane, was, yeah, so she misunderstood, so she's an extra, but she's already in it. So Stacy, When it comes to guiding next time, do you mind if the Holy Spirit, Marilyn, guides both you and Donna so you can still be in this? Okay, great. Okay, great. All right. Okay, good. Okay. No. This will be good. Stacey, you're up there. No. Honey, please don't ruin the deal. It's going just fine. This is going to be great. No, it's going to be great. No, you're in here. You're in here for, okay. Don is going to be the part of the Holy Spirit here, but Stacey is going to be who you are comforting. All right, he is the comforter. Now, if you're going to comfort somebody, what do you often, I get Don up here because he's older, he's a wise man, and he, you know, he can put his arm around a woman without, you know, being whatever, I think. Yeah, okay, so there, he comforts. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the parakletos, the one who comes alongside to help in our time of need. And how many of us who have relied on others and have been blessed by other people, have gotten in places in our lives where no one can comfort us but God. And that's a good place to be. There are times in my life, and there are times, or will be times in your life, that the only one who can really get to the heart of the matter is God himself. And the God himself who gets to the heart of the matter in comforting you in your sorrow or whatever you're going through is the Holy Spirit. So he does what? He comforts. One last time, let's go through it together, all right? You ought to have restraints down really, really good, right? He what? He
restrains, convicts.
All right, very good. Let's give a round of applause. You can be seated. Our time is up, but I thank all of you for helping us out on this, to give us this visual. I want to wrap it up with this. I'm going to pull two things together amongst those 13 separate ministries of the Holy Spirit you just saw illustrated on this platform. Before salvation, he convicts. Some of you, having heard Kevin's testimony, may have been convicted of your sin that Jesus Christ died for. If your heart is saying, I am guilty, I am lost, I deserve to be incarcerated for life and eternity, know that you don't have to if you'll place your faith in Jesus. So that the Spirit of God, who is the prosecuting attorney in your life right now, will then become your defense attorney, who will plead your case. The ultimate defense attorney is Jesus, whoever makes intercession for us. But the Spirit of God works in that as well, in that he straightens out those prayers and whatnot. And we already talked about that. But the symbol in Acts chapter 2 that we just read through, the symbol for the Spirit of God was what? Did anybody catch it? Fire. Fire. Blaise Pascal, the great French philosopher, mathematician, physicist. At age 31 years of age, this brilliant man was convicted by the Spirit of the living God. And he had what he described as a night of fire, where between 10:30 p.m. and 12:30 a.m., he was under massive conviction. And he wrote these words. He said, "Fire, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not of philosophy or scholars," which is exactly what he was, a philosopher and a scholar, "God of Jesus Christ." And he gave his life to Jesus Christ, and for the next 8 years of his life, before he would die at the age of 39, committed himself to the Lord Jesus. And when he died, his servant found sewn into his jacket one word on a piece of paper that he carried with him for those 8 years that he was a believer in Jesus. The one word was fire. God radically changed that man at age 31 and for the short remainder of his years with the fire of God come down from heaven into his heart, changed his life like he'll change yours. If you'll place your faith in Jesus to be your Savior. And if you have placed your faith in Jesus, you saw a multiplicity of gifts that are active right now in your life. Are you being sanctified? Are you being constantly filled with the Spirit of God? Are you submitting yourself to God so that He can illuminate you and guide you? Whatever the Lord may have done or spoken to your heart today, respond to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be able to study the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We realize that a church, Lord, that is the pillar and buttress of the truth must be a church that evidences the power of you, dear God, the power of the promise and person of the Spirit of the living God. I want that power. I want that filling. I want that leading, Lord. Use me. Use our people. Use this congregation to be used of you because they are Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, Spirit-used. May we commit our hearts to that end right now. And I do pray for those in our midst, Lord, who are still under the prosecuting attorney, pointing them to Jesus. If that would be you, place your faith in Him today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.